Okay, before we read the 23rd Psalm together, we're going to look at two other passages beforehand as we look at a message I've entitled Good Old 23. Luke chapter 15, we read these words in verses 3 through 6. Maybe you want to just focus on listening. And then the John passage that I'm going to read is a little longer. Maybe you could turn to that one. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. And then from John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Jesus says, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd. He does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, the hired hand abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. And I must bring them in also, and they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I receive from my Father." And then let's turn to Psalm 23. And we're going to use this as a responsive litany this morning. I will read the odd verses and you the even as we share together in this old familiar friend. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Two men were in an argument. They were arguing over who knew the most about the Bible. And the argument grew very heated and went on for some time. And finally the first man said to the second, "I'll bet you $10 you don't even know the 23rd Psalm." And the second man said, "Well, I'll take that bet." And they both laid their $10 bill down. And the first said to the second, "So, go right ahead." And without a moment of hesitation, the second said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And the first stopped him and said, "Here's your money. I never thought you would have known it." Never thought you would have knew it. You might know the psalm, but the question is, do you know the shepherd? Because a lot of people know the psalm, even if they barely know the shepherd. As a matter of fact, after the Lord's Prayer and John 3:16, the 23rd psalm is probably the most memorized portion in all of Scripture. And how pleasant it is to come to church on a crisp spring morning where the weather has begun to break and to encounter an old friend like Psalm 23. For some, you know, Sunday mornings can be a little bit traumatic. You settle into your pew only to be hit over the head by some unfamiliar idea, some unfamiliar biblical text, poked in the ribs by a well-meaning preacher. But not this Sunday. Because this Sunday it's, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I cannot remember a time in my life when I was unfamiliar with that psalm. Can you remember a time when you were not familiar with it? Even a person who knows no scripture by heart, who can't find that verse when they want it, knows this psalm. And I remember so many old, faded pictures in church basements and Sunday school classrooms of Jesus holding the shepherd, just like in our bulletin cover this morning. And so this psalm was a psalm of children expressing childlike faith in God's protection. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still, peaceful waters. It sounds so restful and so reassuring. Sheep, we know, do not drink by flowing waters. They're very skittish. So this shepherd finds them a restful spot where the waters are still and peaceful. And he leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. And here we have the pleasant childhood fade, and we look down that gradual darkening corridor, perhaps toward the end of life, as we consider that dark valley, that dark abyss. Not a darkened grave, not a silent blackness, but a place where the shepherd is with us. "And I'll fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they are a comfort to me." And so when we meditate upon the goodness within this psalm, when we visualize the wonder of this sheep-shepherd relationship, is it any wonder that we turn back to it? When life draws to a close for someone, and it's their turn to walk through that darkest of all valleys, they will reach for this old friend, good old familiar since childhood, Psalm 23. And it isn't because we simply know this psalm by heart that we return to it. It's because it dares to speak to the whole journey of humanity. It dares to speak of a place where the Good Shepherd comforts, even in a darkened place. So here is a scripture for the beginning of life, through the journey of life, and yes, even toward the end of life. It's a rare funeral that I have attended where Psalm 23 was not an invited guest at that funeral, invited to speak a word or two of comfort over the grave. And so whenever in this life we are forced into some dry desert, or we sail, tossed about by the raging torrents of adversity, it was this old friend who reminded us of green pastures and still waters and restored souls. When we wandered away from the fold, without direction or meaning, here was good old 23 to point us to paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to point us back on the path. When life made us wonder, Is God really there? And what's He like if He is? If God cared, it's 23. 23 that once again puts comforting arms around us and reassures us of a God who makes, a God who leads, a God who restores, a God who comforts, a God who prepares, a God who anoints, so that whether we are in darkness or light, whether we are in life or approaching death, we might dwell with God. Good old familiar since childhood, reassuring, comforting Psalm 23, which speaks of still waters and green pastures. God restoreth my soul, says the psalmist. A more down-to-earth modern translation reads, God keeps me alive. Through all of the changes of life, even the verse 4 change of life, even though I walk through the dark valley. Now, most of us assume that that's talking about the end, the final valley. But we imagine that a sheep and a shepherd go through many different valleys, many different valleys in the process of their journey to the next fertile pasture. And so existentially, we think of our own lives and the various passageways of life. That terminal illness, that place of betrayal by a close friend or a spouse, that marital loss or those deep interpersonal problems in my family, the loss of a job, the failure of a life dream, a failed business venture, a financial collapse, whatever it may be, whatever your darkest valley is, the scripture says, your God, your shepherd shall be with you, offering you the comfort of his rod and of his staff. And so we have a shepherd for all of life's chapters, for all of life's pastures, the fertile ones and the barren ones. But wait a minute. As I look closer at this old familiar friend, I see something that I have not seen before. Surely goodness and mercy, the NIV interprets it love, surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life, verse 6. And look at the Hebrew, reveals that often a word in the Bible can be translated in more than one way. For example, the word goodness has many nuances throughout the Old Testament. Goodness names all of those benefits of God's vast presence. Even in the valley, goodness stands with us. Another word is mercy. Surely goodness or mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That word mercy is translated hesed. Hesed in Hebrew, which means a steadfast love. Mercy is a word for the kindness and the fidelity of God, even when we don't have fidelity toward Him, even when we are not faithful. God's mercy is said to follow us. But the word that really captures my imagination is the word follow. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now the Hebrew word for followed is not a passive text. It is not a passive word. It is actually the word pursue or to chase in reality. As Pharaoh's chariots pursued the children of Israel into the sea, I pursued my enemies and overtook them, sang David after the triumph of his enemies. Hosea goes out in pursuit of his wayward wife that he might buy her and bring her back home. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. And here is a ripple upon the still waters of this peaceful psalm that God pursues me. Here I am plodding through life, and look who's behind me, trudging uphill, barely catching their breath, right? On my heels, goodness and mercy. How do you like that image? No, I prefer a different image. Goodness and mercy are not tagging along with a sense of fatigue. They are not trudging off in the distance. I think they're pursuing me. They're chasing me. And this is the image that Francis Thompson tried to capture in his beautiful poem called The Hound of Heaven, which is much too long to read, but I'll read a portion. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the labyrinth ways of my own mind, and in the midst of tears, I hid from him those strong feet that followed after. And with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, they followed after me. Friends, I don't care how well we think we know the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23. I don't believe we fully know him until we have realized that he is a pursuer. And there's a difference. There is a difference between being followed and being pursued. There's a big difference between looking back over your shoulder and finding goodness and mercy trudging breathlessly up a hill, and having goodness and mercy pursue me and eventually catch me. Goodness and mercy pursue relentlessly, tirelessly, fervently. They persist. Goodness and mercy will not quit. With unhurried chase and unperturbed pace, they follow after, says the poet. The Lord is my shepherd, we say. The shepherd leads us down to quiet, level pastures. He knows where we'll find that restful, quiet brook. Jesus told us about a shepherd, however, who was not content with 99 who stayed safe within the fold. He cared about one. He counted his sheep. He left the 99 and pursued that one that was lost, up and down the hills, searching among the bushes, finding that trapped sheep that had become lost. In Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn, Huck remembers, and I quote, "The widow, she cried over me, and she called me a poor lost lamb, and she called me a lot of other names too, but she never meant me no harm." And Jesus loves his poor lost lambs too, searching for them, carrying them home in his loving shepherd arms. And so Jesus told his disciples in John 10 about one who had left the fold, and the shepherd left the 99 out there in the wilderness and pursued that lost one until he found it. And I love the way the old spiritual puts it, and I've read it to you before, but I love it so much. Poor little black sheep that strayed away, done lost in the wind and the rain. And the shepherd, he say, "Oh hireling, go find my sheep again." And the hireling frowned and said, "Oh shepherd, that sheep am black and bad." But the shepherd, he smiled, like that little black sheep was the onlyest lamb he had. And he say, "O hireling, hasten, for the wind and the rain are cool, and that little black sheep am lonesome out there so far from the fold." And the hireling said, "O shepherd, that sheep am old and gray." But the shepherd, he smiled, like that little black sheep was as fair as the break of day, as fair as the break of day. And he said, "O hireling, hasten, here the 99, but way off from the sheepfold is that little black sheep of mine." And the hireling said, "O shepherd, the rest of the sheep am here." But the shepherd, he smiled, like that little black sheep he owned was his mostest dear, his mostest dear. And the shepherd, he'd go out in the darkness where the night was cold and bleak, and the little black sheep, he found it, and he lay it against his cheek. And the hireling frowned and said, "Oh, shepherd, don't bring that sheep to me." But the shepherd, he smiled, and he held it close. "And the little black sheep is me, and the little black sheep is me." Think about that. Because within this psalm, we have a picture of a shepherd who pursues until he finds that which is lost. Now, most sheep are very content with an occasional green pasture and a quiet brook here and there. But Jesus says there are other sheep. There are other sheep who are not of this fold, and I seek them, he says. And when this pursuing shepherd finds the lost, he puts the sheep on his shoulders and breathlessly returns. And what does he say? "I have found my sheep that was lost. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me." He says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." In other words, there is no limit to the pursuit of this great shepherd. And so I close. He was a mean old man, resentful, and he was bitter. Someone said, "His bitterness is surely justified, for his beloved wife died while giving birth to their only child, and his child, his only daughter, died shortly after. He had all kinds of reasons to be bitter. He never went to church, never had anything to do with anybody. And when in his 60s he contracted a terminal disease, they carried him from his apartment over to the hospital to die. No one visited, no flowers were sent. He went there to die, and to die alone. But there was a student nurse, young and naive and tender-hearted and in training. And because she was in training, she didn't know everything they teach in med school about the necessity for detachment from one's patients, the need for emotional distance. And so she befriended the old man, knowing that he had no others. It had been so long since he had any friends or any warmth at all that he didn't know how to handle it. And he told her, "Go away, leave me alone." And she would smile and try to coax him to eat his jello. And night would come and she'd tuck him in. "Don't need nobody to help me," he'd say. And he would growl. And soon he grew too weak to even resist her kindness. And when she would be done with her shift, she'd come into the room and she'd hold his gnarly hand and sing a hymn or two and then leave. And one night when he looked at her in the dim lamplight of that room, he thought he was seeing the face of an angel. And on his final night, she sat down beside his bed and she looked in his drawer and she found a Gideon Bible. and a nightstand, and she began to read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, on and on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And as she read, a tear forms in his eye, and she leans over and kisses him goodnight. And for the first time in his life, he says, God bless you. God bless you, my dear. And she leaves the room. And as she left the room, two others remained in the room. Goodness and mercy were there. They had pursued him as they pursue us. And as he slipped into the dark valley of death, they quietly whispered, gotcha, in his ear. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. John 10:16. And so the shepherd that we speak of, and the shepherd within this psalm, is seeking and pursuing. And while we wander down our own crooked roads, the pathway of our own choosing, while we get caught in the flow of our own river, he pursues us, even into the valley. He pursues us because he loves us. And we know that the world had had its way with Jesus. They treated him worse than they treated the prophets that were before him, nailed him to a cross, sealed him shut in a tomb. Alone like sheep without a shepherd, the disciples gathered behind locked doors in fear. It was a good campaign while it lasted. They almost got him elected Messiah. But what can you do? You can't fight City Hall. Caesar had all the guns. What can you do? And they were eating behind locked doors. But how pleasant is it to eat? How pleasant is it in these circumstances? And then a knock at the door. Who's there? The door was cracked open just a bit. Thomas staring out into the darkness. And then words are exchanged. And then we imagine the door is thrown open. We're going to need more wine. We're going to need to turn up the music. We're going to need to set another place at the table. Jesus is alive. Our shepherd is alive. Alive. And he pursues us until he finds us. And when he finds us, he carries us with arms of love. Amen. Good Shepherd, we come as sheep, needing always your tender love. The nourishment that you bring to our souls and throughout our lives, we need your pursuit of us, for we drift. We drift. We get lost. We get stuck. We fall away. And we are thankful today that you pursue us, that you follow us. And as we come to this sacred table, O God, might we realize yet again and anew the depth of your love, your pursuing love. A love that would lay down his own life as a lamb led to slaughter. The good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.